Shar Sundust is a teacher, mentor, and visionary. She has developed many programs, including Applied Spirituality and Bringing Spirit into Form. She teaches ways to bring our hearts, minds, and souls into alignment. Today, she will speak to us about kindness and courage.
Hello, everyone. This is a wonderful opportunity to talk today about kindness and authenticity and courage. And it's really interesting to me. Gandhi had these seven things that he felt, the seven social sins, or the seven things that would destroy us. And I think of Gandhi and I think of Martin Luther King often. And I ask that I may be an accurate reflection of their words. And something that Martin Luther King said that is so interesting to me is that we may have all come on different ships, but we're in the same boat now. Martin Luther King's words are very important to me in that we don't remember this. You know, we don't remember that we're all in the same boat. We don't remember that everyone needs compassion and love. Everyone needs to have someone else open to them in a way where we're truly being received, really truly being heard, that our hearts are being heard. And you know, authenticity is I'm really being true to who I am. I'm being true to my own soul. I'm being true to my own character. I'm being true to my own nature. And this is not easy to do, to be always tracking ourselves in these states of character and in these states of being who we truly are. And what does that mean? You know, what does that mean? I'm going to be who I truly am. You know, what that means is that means that I know myself and that I have practiced in my life some kindness toward myself. I've granted myself some kindness, and I can extend my kindness toward myself. And I know myself because I give myself fealty. I give myself time. I give myself 5 minutes a day to check in and to find out who I really am and what is really important to me. And so when we talk about authenticity, we need to talk about several things. We need to talk about kindness to ourselves. And we also need to talk about courage. And so really, we want to bring in the alignment of kindness and courage. And through our authenticity, have a true expression in the world. And the hope and wish is that that will lead us to happiness or even something greater than happiness. I do love what Agnes Martin says about the artist and what the artist truly wants to do, what the artist wishes most of all to do, is to serve happiness. But what we really want is we want to have some kindness extended toward another from ourselves. And we really want to have kindness extended from another toward ourselves. And the things that really destroy this connection are spoken to by Gandhi, and they're called the seven social sins is what he calls them, or the things that will destroy us. And the first seven of the social sins that he speaks to are wealth without work. This is the first thing that he feels will destroy us or that will take us out of our authenticity, out of our integrity, because we all have meaningful work that we're called to do here. We all have meaningful, powerful, and empowering gifts that we want to give to others. And they all live within us. They all live in our hearts, and they live in our minds. They live in our relationships. And, you know, are we willing to do that work? Because it's very important that we're not looking for an easier way right now. We don't get to have it easy right now. We can have comfort, and we can have sanctuary in our homes and in our relationships. But at this time, we're really called to a whole new level of work. There's so much work that is required of us, and that our abundance or our wealth or our value is really equal to the amount of work that we are putting into our dreams and what we deeply value and what has meaning for us. And the second seven of the seven social sins is pleasure without conscience, that oftentimes we're so wrapped up in ourselves and in our world, and we aren't making choices that are deliberate or that we've really deliberated over and thought about before we make them. And we end up making decisions that have a very high cost for other people around us, and therefore have a high cost for us. And so it is of the essence that the choices that we're making, that the pleasures that we have in our lives, are really about what is flowing through us and not what is going into us. And that we're not seeking something outside of us for our happiness or for our pleasures, that we're truly seeking from the intuitive nature, from the body wisdom, and from the heart. This is of the essence at this time, and that in our pleasures, that they are wonderful for everyone, and that they're for the highest good of everyone, not just for me or not just for you, but that everyone is really being taken into account when we're making our decisions around what fuels us and what feeds us. And I've really found that what feeds and fuels us in my work, and I've worked with thousands of people around transformation and growth, and what I've really noticed fuels people is their own heart, what has meaning to them, doing the work that has value to them. But I've really noticed that it's our creativity that most inspires us, and that really leads us to a place where the pleasure is a place where we can lose time, and it has a really positive impact on all beings. And of course, there is creativity that we're going to share and some creativity that we're not going to share, but it's really what flows through us, the pleasures that flow through us that have the most value. And then the third one is knowledge of the seven social sins, is knowledge without character. And I really appreciate the great learners. And something that I've noticed about leaders who are truly, truly gifted is they're constantly learning, and they're constantly improving and gathering knowledge and growing. And I like to say that the first law of love and the first law of loving ourselves and of loving anyone else is the law of listening. And so I really see the first law of love as listening. And I see listening as a way to invite someone else to truly share themselves with us. And when we're listening, what is essential is that I'm listening with the intention of learning something new. So when I see people of character, I see people like Patrick O'Neill, and I see people like Angelus Arian. I see people like Martin Luther King. I see people who are living, and I see people who are non-living that I really respect and admire. And that's the place where we can go, is who are the people where I really respect their character. And it is a distinctive mark. Character is a distinctive mark that really puts someone in a place that is different than others. It puts them in a place where they hold a very high value on integrity and on vulnerability. They hold a high value on kindness and on holding, really holding others up, but due to their own standards for themselves. And not having a standard that is different for themselves than they do for others. And so the character of an individual can really be seen in their actions in the world. And that is about taking others into equal account as we take ourselves. And the also can be seen, it can also be seen as virtue. You know, what are the virtues that I hold the highest? What is it that I consider a virtue in another person? What are my own virtues? What do I consider my own virtues? And so the next seven social sin is business without ethics, or commerce without morality, is how Gandhi put it. Commerce without morality, or business without ethics. And this is something that is so important in our businesses today, to really pay attention to, you know, do I have a code of honor, or do I have a code of ethics where it's very clear where I stand as a leader in my business? And we're all leaders in business. We're all leaders in the business world. Any place where we receive energy, where there is fair and equitable exchange, it's very important that we are able to hold ourselves to a standard of integrity where we do no harm. The seven things that will destroy us, of those seven things, there's science without humanity. And I think that's pretty clear, you know, when we think about, we really need the both and, we need the soul and we need science, but we must honor our own humanity. We must honor that we are all human, and that there are feelings involved, that as human beings we were created to have feelings. And I like to say that, you know, feeling is healing. And so we do not go into the mind to such a degree that we dismiss our humanity, that we dismiss that we are feeling creatures, and that we are empathic and we feel what others are feeling. And to deny that impact is to deny the very core of why we were put here, which is really to learn about those feelings and to learn from those feelings. And so just to deny what we were really put here for. And so how can we practice both of those things, to really honor the head and to honor the heart, to honor the humanity, and then to bring those things together in a way where they really work together? You know, we really need to be working together at this time. All of our ancient medicines and all of our new medicines need to find a new pathway that is combining the two in a good way. And the next principle that he speaks to is spirituality without sacrifice. That this is one of the issues at this time, that we want a fast food lane on our spirituality, and we want to get all of the benefits, but there are sacrifices that are required. And sacrifice really means to make sacred. To make something sacred is what the word sacrifice really comes from. And so, do I make all of my actions sacred? And do I take the work home? Am I accountable to the spiritual work? And spiritual practices are time alone and reflection. A spiritual practice would be prayers or poems that are important to me that I recite. A spiritual practice is a practice of writing down our gratitudes every day, or taking time to share our gratitudes with the people that we love. These are all spiritual practices. And when I am in a difficult situation, am I still practicing those principles? And am I willing to really go into that first law of love, which is listening and being willing to learn something new from this person that I'm having this conversation with? Am I really willing to give fealty, to make a space for this other person, and to be willing to understand, to take the time to be curious and to maintain the place of understanding? So spirituality without sacrifice. The next one is politics without principles. And it's important that in our politics that we are being compassionate and that we are bringing that compassion into all of our political belief systems, and that we have the awareness that everyone is really doing the very best that they can and doing the best that they can with the tools and skills that they have, as Kay Reese likes to say. But we really need to stand behind our principles and stand behind what we value in the political realms, and recognizing that everyone there is human. Everyone there is having a human experience of themselves. And can we be compassionate, but can we also be clear about what our value system is and to stand behind what is right for the good of all? And so these are the really important principles that Gandhi believes need to be looked at in our world. In his time and in our time, I believe they still stand, and perhaps even stronger than they did at that time.